Hello and welcome to Counsel from Above, your place to ask a counselor questions you wish he would answer from God's Word. I am your host, Nathan Honeycutt, licensed professional counselor, minister of the Church of Christ, getting to be together with you as we focus on some thoughts, some questions, some things from really all over the place today. A lot of dealing with mental health and kind of our struggles today to day and how we get past the things that are going on in our world. So welcome. Thanks for being here. As always, I encourage you to let us know about what you think about the podcast. Jump in, be a part of our Facebook group, which is called Counsel from Above Podcast. Jump on that, do some work with us. Like, share, comment, please get involved in that. Whatever your platform might be that you get to listen to us, because we're on a bunch of them, whatever it might be, make sure and subscribe. That way you know whenever these pop up. It also helps the search engine to get me to other people that might be interested in the same material. Appreciate all that you do to spread the word and let others know about this. Hey, you might have a question. If you do, send it to me. You can get it to me, counselfromabove@gmail.com. I'm checking that on a regular basis, and you're welcome to get that sent to me. You can also jump on that Facebook page, Counsel from Above Podcast, and be able to put them on there. Hey, we are now on Instagram. Woo-woo! I am now jumping into the 21st century, and now we have an Instagram account. So, hey, check it out. Find us on Instagram, @Counsel from Above. We are trying to do as much as we can to spread the word and get that information out there. So please jump in, be a part of it. Spread the word so that other people can know about it. Man, I am excited today because today I have my good friend Kip Green with me. He has returned. He's back. We didn't run him off. He didn't get scared off. Instead, he's back with me today. Kip, how are you, brother?
Doing well, brother. Good to be with you.
Yeah, man. So how's life in Alabama today?
We're getting warmer.
I can't imagine. You know, believe it or not, today is 1 year anniversary.
Wow, congratulations to you.
Dude, brother. Right, man. 1 year doing this, and I am excited to have you on the 1 year anniversary, man. Yeah, you are my guest. I appreciate you being with us for sure. Just for those who may not know you, Kip, give us a rundown in case we got some new visitors today.
Okay. I'm a licensed professional counselor. I'm a full-time preacher here at the North Jefferson Church of Christ. I work as a counselor also at the Child Haven Children's Home, where I focus on helping the house parents with any issues that they might have, and I deal with federal certification for Child Haven as well. So on the home front, I have different elders that send folks to me, so I get to keep my private practice going as well. So a lot of different hats, a lot of different activities. Focus on family. Seems to be couples more than anything here lately, just by the need that arises.
Yes. Married, two kids.
Married, two kids. One's married. One's a junior. Wow. It's hard to say at Freed Heartland.
Yeah. No way. Well, we all are, brother. That's just the way that it is, man.
Time rolls on.
It does. Absolutely. Well, that sounds, I appreciate you being on. Kip and I have known each other since we were an undergrad at Freed Hardeman a day or two ago.
it's been a minute.
For you and I, that's been, that's been about, I don't know, 25 years, brother. Can you believe
that's
that? Right. 25
no,
years.
No.
So it is great to have you on the podcast. We got three questions today. These three questions are brought to us by many different ways. So I've got some that came through email. I got some that came through a text message. I got some that actually handed me a personal letter. Can you believe they still do snail mail, Kip? Did you know
that actually still
exists?
I really cannot.
It does. It absolutely exists. So, hey, get it to me. If you got questions, love to answer them. Let's jump in today. So today, first question, this comes from Jeff in Missouri. His question, he says, I have an idea for your podcast. The question is, how does a person know when it's time to seek professional counseling? And when you do make the decision to seek professional counseling, how do you choose the best counselor for you? Kip, what do you think on that? When is it time to start seeking some professional help?
When you look at the way that professionals are lined up today, I think it's important that we see the difference. And I think knowing the difference of what the specialty of people really is, it helps you know when you can utilize them. Psychiatrists, they deal with mental disorders, and they deal with diagnosis and medication. Psychologist deals with testing, assessment, in general mental health, but they are not allowed to issue medication. Clinical psychologist deal with things that are from, I would say for them that they deal with things from mild to severe mental health issues. And most of the clinical psychologists are going to have a very specific scope of work that they are working on. Then more to the question, I suppose, we have licensed professional counselors such as you and myself, and we are going to look at the things that are on the clinical side. We're going to look behind what the issue is, what we're going to look at, what are some possible thoughts that have gone awry. We're going to ask why, and we're not going to advise, but we're going to challenge any thought that might be in error for whatever reason. And we're going to look at that to try to find a solution. And then the social worker, is one that connects people with services. And so those professionals, I think, are important for you to know. I would also like to add before I pass it back to you, in deciding about counselors, there are three things that have to come into play of how you find that counselor. Number one, you're going to be referred by a medical physician to either a counselor or a psychiatrist or psychologist, whatever the case may be. Number two, you're going to need to know what your insurance will or will not pay for. As much as financial matters come into play these days, that's a real issue. And then sadly, it seems number three that people think about is when they are going to go to a professional. It's important, I believe, to find out that if there is someone around that is a member of the Lord's Church that you know is going to come from that biblical standpoint, that spiritual level in providing services.
Yeah, anytime you start looking for a counselor, there's definitely, like you said, there's a number of things to be looking for and considering. What are you wanting from the relationship seems to be key grade A number one. If you're needing someone to listen, then really you're looking at a wide range. All of them can listen.
Right.
If you're wanting someone who can kind of give you the background, the real nitty gritty, how did I get to this point? You know, then you start looking at the psychologist. They're going to start giving you some testing that is, oh man, multiple questions and multiple things to really kind of dive into the psyche involved in where you're at. You also then have, if you're feeling like a medication might be the better option, as Kip said, psychiatrists are your universally accepted. There are locations that and states that are allowing some psychologists to pass medications.
Right.
Again,
a few.
Arizona, a few others like that. There are few and far between, but depending on where you're from, there are those available to do medications.
Right.
You also have medical doctors who can prescribe your medications and be able to then utilize talk therapy or counseling to be able to then bring in conjunction with that. So, you know, to kind of think of the question, when is it time to seek counseling? It's whenever you start realizing that having a conversation with somebody outside of you is going to be important. I think of a past episode in which we talked about Elijah, and Elijah was going to God and saying, I just want to, you know, I want to end it. Kill me now. And one of the solutions that God brought is bringing in Elisha into the relationship. And so he provided through Elisha the position to be able to talk, to have a conversation, to have a connection, to have that relationship. And so those are times in which you're starting to really kind of struggle day to day and day in and day out, and you want to get it outside of yourself. I can tell from my perspective, Kip, you can certainly correct me in your world, but it often feels like counselors and professional help are the last resort, not a first resort.
Yes, we're the last straw.
I mean, I rarely have somebody saying, you know, I started feeling bad yesterday and you were the first person I thought of I should talk
right.
to. You know, right. I have one today. I mean, I've been feeling this way for months. I've been feeling this way for years. Well, then why are you talking to me now? I mean, come on.
Let's be proactive. I get couples and they're literally, I'm the last ditch effort to save something. And you know, couples should realize when we get to that point, perhaps it's time for us to look for help more quickly.
Well, and jumping in early and trying to say, hey, this is something I don't want to continue or something that I want to address is really important. So I think we've kind of answered the second part of the question is how do you choose the best counselor? You know, Kip, you know, there was a day in which I became the counselor first. And when I became a counselor, I told you that the church needs it. And the church doesn't have the resources that we wish they had. And so your work continues in Alabama and being able to help families and churches and places is really important that we continue to see that. But the reality is that because the resources are few and far between, a lot of times you can still find quality help, even if they're not members of the church.
That's true.
You know, find their background, find their kind of thoughts on things, you know, probe and ask questions. I mean, if a therapist or counselor isn't willing to answer questions, then get rid of them.
That's right.
If they're not willing to provide you, hey, this is where I'm at, or this is how my philosophy or my thinking, move on.
Yeah, and, open dialogue and open identification from the get-go.
Yeah. And I appreciate you mentioning the financial resources because, yeah, the reality is that, you know, businesses have to continue. And to continue businesses, you do have to get, and not many are able to run on nothing. It's exactly. Not much of a business plan if you don't have money coming in.
Right.
They don't last very long. All right. I appreciate it. Jeff, thank you. Hope he asked that, answered that question for you. Question number two, this is from Anonymous. I know Anonymous gives me a lot of questions, Kip. Did you notice that?
Oh, I have noticed
that. He's a pretty popular fellow around here.
Inquisitive fellow, too.
No doubt. He gives me lots of them. So here's a question from Anonymous. Kids that have been in an abusive situation, whatever it is, physical, sexual, or verbal, how do they learn to get past that? They say this stops with me and will be different with my family. Kip, from your work within the children's home and then the families, my work with the kids and on the list goes, you know, what do we do whenever we're working with kids who are in abusive situations? How do they get past that?
This is one of the main things that we do at Child Haven, and we deal with the victim of such things. Family members, parents, abusing children. So this is exactly what we do. And the trauma-focused therapy works in such a way that it helps them to identify the episode or episodes. Many times they get to us, and it's been going on for years. We get very few with just one episode, sadly. So we have to work slowly through those things, because what we find is after each episode, there is a thought, there is a principle, maybe even foundational, that is, it's changed, it's skewed. And so we have to work through those things by helping them identify them, by helping them feel more comfortable in looking at what that skewed foundational matter has caused them to think and think wrong and apply wrong. And then what has that created for them in decisions in their life? And so the TFCBT, which is the therapy that we use and that I use myself in private practice, is not questioning the person. We're questioning what the event created. And that is what helps them to break the cycle that this question asks, how that it's going to end with them. Once they realize what has happened and then they realize what that created in them, they can begin to make the adjustment.
Well, and with kids, I mean, like all of us, if we go through an experience that we don't like, we then try our best to learn so that doesn't happen again.
Exactly.
And sometimes we learn lessons that shouldn't have been learned, or we learn things that ultimately were not what was keeping us safe or what will keep us safe. You know, I think of a child who's maybe been sexually abused. So in order to make themselves repulsive, they don't shower, they don't clean themselves, they cover themselves in feces, they do things to make themselves no longer attractive because they thought that's what this was about.
Right.
And in reality, it had nothing to do with it. There may be absolutely no connection to that at all, because there's some people that are just that sick.
Right.
And so, but they may learn that lesson. They may have that. And so I appreciate TFCBT. I was trained in TFCBT as well and continue to utilize it. I will say to my audience and to those that are listening, TFCBT is used for children. So it's mostly a child-directed event. And so that's our type of modality. And so that's really the direction that is used quite often. We also use EMDR a lot. Where I'm at, that gets used an awful lot. And so as you get to an adult age, so let's say the question is also reality that some kids don't grow up. They may physically grow up, but they're still having the issue even as adults.
Right.
You have types of therapy called PE, which is prolonged exposure therapy, CPT, cognitive processing therapy, and really on the list goes. And so one of the things I want to kind of challenge, I think, from this question, and is I think a statement that you hear sometimes is, well, how does a kid just get over it? You know, I don't know how many times you've heard somebody say or come to you said, dude, help me get over this. Just get over it. Yeah, fix it. And it's every time I hear that, it's just fingernails on a chalkboard in my mind.
Yes.
No, you don't just get past it. You don't just get over it. You don't just act like it didn't happen. The one thing I really like, and Kip, I think you can probably speak to this, is that one thing I really like about TFCBT, it's all about connecting emotion to the event.
That's correct.
Because, and that's counterproductive. It's what most people think. They don't want to feel. So they do all these other things to keep from feeling. They keep from being connected to it. They keep the emotions out of it. When in reality, your brain is forcing you to put emotions with it or else.
Yes. Yes. And we know that there are emotions that are held back, even as we deal with children in the foster system, that itself is a broken system. And we all know that. But once they get to us, we talk to our house parents. We are a residential at Child Haven. And we talk to our house parents. These children need to express these emotions so they can understand what the positive emotions are in the opposite form. And so to express sadness helps them know happiness. And that may seem oversimplified, but when you're thinking about someone that is 28 years old, let's say, for example, but their trauma age, which they laugh at me for saying that, by the way, that's a Kipism, but
that's the truth. I hear that here. Tell them it's Missouri too, because we do that too.
I'm going to tell them that.
Tell them, yeah.
But you know, you're 28, but your trauma age is 12. And so you really got to check that processing, as you said, the CPT. You've really got to really check that. And let them express that emotion. And to express it, you have to feel it. And then once you feel it, you express it and back and forth and back and forth until we gain understanding.
Yeah. The thing is with our brain and our body, when we go through this event, there are an emotional connection to it. And if you and I don't manage it correctly, it's going to come out when you don't want it to come out. And it's going to come out in ways you don't want it to come out.
That's
and
right.
And so really, to me, I think Satan continues to tell us and encourage us to say, oh, don't feel it. You're not going to do well. Your feelings, you know, blah, 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 blah. When in reality, just the opposite is true. Mm-hmm. If you don't feel sad when this stuff happens, there's something wrong with you. If you don't feel this way. So therefore, allow your feelings to be processed, it, talk about it, move through it. And that's how you ultimately make a difference. To end the question, I think that also I commend the statement, and that is that absolutely we have the ability to choose and decide the impact that our trauma has on us.
Yes. Do not allow yourself to suppress it. Sorry about that. Do not allow yourself to suppress those feelings.
Yeah. And you have the ability, because you have choice, to decide how it impacts your family. Family. You have the ability to be able to process it, to work through it, and to be able to change it. I don't know how many studies, I know, Kip, you've read them, I've read them, where you'll have twins that are in the same abusive family. One of them becomes, you know, the greatest criminal mind, and the other one becomes a counselor and a preacher or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So just because the environment is what it is does not guarantee that's the life you have to continue.
Exactly.
So I appreciate the question. That was a wonderful question. I appreciate that. All right, question number 3. This is a short one, Kip, so this ain't going to take long to give you this one. It's going to take you a minute to answer, but it's a short one.
Okay,
here it is. Another anonymous. Anonymous provides me another one. So he's popular. He's popular today. What should be our attitude towards our doubt? How should we handle doubt? Kip, tell me, a good Christian doesn't have doubt, right? No good Christian feels doubt. If you feel doubt, you ain't a good Christian. That's what I've heard. That's what I've been told.
Isn't that what we were told when we were younger, when we were teenagers?
Dude, that's what I'm told now. I hear it even now.
I hear it now. We have to tackle this by understanding each one of us goes through a valley. We cannot stay on the top of the mountain all the time. We all have bad moments. And the first thing we have to do is we have to look closely at our core and at ourself and not be afraid to question and identify who we are. God has us examine ourselves every time we observe the Lord's Supper. God knows what He's doing. He built us. He's not afraid for us to ask questions about what we believe. He's given us everything we know. I think I've read that somewhere. All things that pertain to life and godliness. I believe I've read that. And if we look at it and not be afraid to question it, God knows through His word, we will come out the other side.
You know, and the thing that I noticed is that the person that doesn't want questioned is the one that's concerned of what the answer is going to be.
Afraid of it.
God has zero issues with examination of His word.
That's right.
He's got no problem with it because He's not worried about what is going to come out or the mistake or if you're going to catch something that's not right. He doesn't care. He says, go at it. Examine it. You know, the Bereans were considered more noble.
Yes.
Because they examined the scriptures daily. That was not a problem. That was not an issue. That wasn't a bad thing. They were considered better because they were like, you know what? We don't trust you.
Exactly.
You know, Paul walks in there and he's like, I don't trust you. We're going to find out if you're right or not.
I love the opposite of what people are afraid of with doubt, because someone that's having doubt, that's someone that is sincere in their faith. They are sincere in how they are living. They're using self-discipline and self-examination, and then they're honest about it with themselves. They can come out the other side, we mentioned a minute ago, in a stronger and even more faithful position.
Because a doubt is all about how you manage it. Doubt itself is not the problem. It's what do you do with it?
Exactly.
That becomes good, bad, or otherwise. I think about you and I were talking off air about this question, and we were talking about it, and we really thought hard about John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. You know, in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist is saying, there's one that's coming that I so great that I can't even untie his shoes. And then he's told, you know, when you see the Spirit descending as a dove, that's the Son of God. And he declares, you are the Son of God, and he declares Jesus, his cousin, to be the Messiah. And he just really lays it out there when he baptizes Jesus. But then whenever he gets thrown into prison and he's in prison, he then sends his followers to Jesus. And what's the question that the followers are supposed to ask? Is, are you the Messiah? And are we supposed to be looking for another?
Right.
Wait a second, John. What the heck? You sat there in the water and you watched the dove descend, and you were told in a prophecy that when you see that, that's the Messiah. You see all this and now you're in prison and you have doubts? Wait a second. You know, shame on him. Well, no, he's human.
That's right. He's a man just like all of us.
Yeah. And so if John the Baptist, in what he did, the forerunner of Jesus, you know, if he had doubts, then, you know, we're in good company.
Right.
We're in a good spot.
Doubt equals sincerity. Sincerity equals growth.
And as we have those doubts, we're like, wait a second, let's dig in. Let's look into this and never be afraid of what you look for, of the search itself and finding God's word and finding what God wants you to be. Because the reality is that it's not God that says shame on you for doubt. A matter of fact, if you go back and look at the very end of the book of John and you have doubting Thomas, you remember what Jesus said? He says, here, put your hand in my hand, put your hand in my side. He never once said, shame on you, you dirty, rotten scumbag.
That's exactly right.
Jesus' response to John the Baptist was, or to Thomas, wasn't, "Oh, you're just horrible person. You're not worthy of me. You can't be an apostle now," and somehow strips his apostleship.
Right.
Because, well, he had a doubt. No, instead he says, you know, blessed are those that are believing when they don't see. Blessed are those that are coming and that have that connection to me. But to John, or to Thomas, you know, my Lord and my God, it came to that point, and there he was. And, you know, the history, if it's correct, man, Thomas went through some stuff.
He sure did.
As a disciple of Christ, never doubting, never doing that again. And that's that scrutiny that he took and the scrutiny that he went through to get there. So above all, I want us all to understand and realize that doubt is part of the valleys of life, as much as the rooftops and the mountaintops are part of life. And ultimately, it's about holding on to the hand of Jesus, holding on to God with all that our might, being willing to search his word, search his direction, search what he has. When in doubt, read. When in doubt, pray. When in doubt, ask the question and seek the answer. God is there. I also think, as we close on this one, Acts 17, God is not far from any one of us. And God is begging for us to grope for him, to reach for him, because he is always there ready for us when we're ready to reach for him. When in doubt, reach for him, and there his hand will always be. Kip, man, I love getting to talk to you, dude. This is so much fun.
It's great, brother.
I appreciate you being on the podcast and your continued support and encouragement to me. There are times in which I have doubted this work, and you keep powering me through. So I appreciate you.
Touching millions.
I appreciate that. Yeah, maybe one day. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Hey, thanks for listening. We are so grateful for that. Again, don't forget, send me your questions. Shout out to me. Love to see you on Facebook. And hey, now we're on Instagram. Come ahead, join in. Love to have you. Appreciate you so much. Hey, thank you for joining us as we continue each and every day to serve God, love God, and to give God our best, because each and every day it's all about us opening our ears and opening our hearts so that we ultimately listen to God's counsel from above.